Let's turn our Bibles, please, as we continue again in Deuteronomy to chapter 26, verse 1. And actually, we finished chapter 25 and then leapt to chapter 27, the first four verses, and to just get to the current event of the Ten Commandment monuments being removed. And so we're going to go back to chapter 26. Where in verse 1 it says, "And it shall be when you come into the land," and again Moses is speaking to the nation of Israel while they're on the east side of the Jordan River, and he's talking to them about the anticipation that when he dies they will go over the Jordan River into what is now modern day Israel. And he says, "And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide." And again, this place the Lord chooses to make his name abide was at first Shiloh, or Shiloh as the Hebrews call it, a town where they set up the temporary tabernacle, and actually they made a little bit of a permanent place there in Shiloh. But then it became Jerusalem. And so he's saying, when you get into the land, then wherever the Lord is choosing to have his name, where the Ark of the Covenant is, you are to take some of the produce of the land and put it into a basket and go and take it there. Basically, it's a first fruits recognition to God, which he goes on to explain here in verse 3. And it says, And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God," and actually the person's God too, if they're in doing this in belief, "that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us." And so the very first thing he does in bringing this basket, he's just carrying a basket, and he goes, "I am doing this because the Lord has truly answered his promise of giving us this promised land. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian, about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous." So who's he talking about? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons. The 12 sons who, in the midst of drought, sent people down to Egypt, and the whole Joseph story, one of his 12 sons. And then when Joseph finally allowed himself to be revealed as to who he was to his brothers who thought that he had died or been sold into slavery, then the whole family of Jacob and the 12 sons of Israel all went down to Egypt. So that's who he's talking about. My father Jacob was a Syrian, and actually not really, he was a descendant of Abraham, but he was living in the area of Syria, and he went down to Egypt. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and great signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. And so they get into the promised land. And as soon as that first crop comes in, the very first crop that comes in that God has given them in the promised land, they take some of the crop, and actually every year they're supposed to take 10% and take it down to Israel. But that very first crop had a basket that was first fruits. And they would go down there and they would give this testimony. Actually, this is an Old Testament testimony. And it's basically saying, look at what it's really saying. I was once lost in sin. Our people had no hope and were in oppression. I was in oppression. I would have been a slave in Egypt if it weren't for God. I would still be there. But because our people were a nation and we were being oppressed and in slavery, and we called out to God and said, God, there's got to be more to life than this, than slavery and being in bondage. And then God sent a deliverer and pulled them out of bondage with great signs and wonders. What were the great signs and wonders for us when we cried out to God, God, there's got to be some way of getting out of this cycle of sin. I go looking for peace and something in life that's in meaning, and I keep on being further and further oppressed with slavery. God, there's got to be more. And with great signs and wonders, he says, yes, there is more. It's my son Jesus, who with great signs and wonders died on the cross, shed his blood for you, and went into the grave and rose miraculously from the dead. And then brought us into the promised land. We know by promise that we're headed to heaven. And we have that first down payment from the Holy Spirit to know that truly he has changed us on the inside, like we've been studying in 1 John in our Sunday morning services. And so then basically what God would say in a New Testament application to this is that as we see the Lord giving us, you know, those first fruits of salvation, first fruits of even ministering to us, knowing that God's got his hand in it, for us to have an attitude of being able to give it back to God and to thank God for what he's doing in our life, to have a thankful heart to God for the things that are happening, and actually to have them on our lips to proclaim it to the people that are around us. And that's why we're even saying during our sharing time that many people for years, that even though they're taught the Bible, they're taught this salvation plan, for them to personally articulate what God did for them in the, I was headed to hell because of my sin. I cried out to God to deliver me from my sin. This is how I saw Jesus. This is how I got on my knees to agree with God that I was deserving of sin, but accepting the gift of Jesus in my life. And now I know the Lord Jesus is going to deliver me to heaven. It's a hard thing for some people to do. And that's why in the Old Testament, it was something that God was saying, this is what you say. And actually, in our baptism handout, I say, this is what a testimony should include. How I was a slave. How I heard to hear about there's a deliverer to take me out of slavery of sin and death. And then how I did. How I gave my life to Jesus as a testimony. And this is an Old Testament example of the same thing. And we should all be able to do that, and we're going to endeavor as a body of believers here at Port Orchard to make it so that everybody has that simple testimony and also an ability to share with somebody how they too can be saved. Verse 11, so you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. The common person, the priest, the religious leaders, and the stranger that's among you that is there because they love the nation of Israel. Verse 12, when you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, so now he's shifting subjects because every year one-tenth of your production went down to Jerusalem to take care of the priests and the Levites that were down there ministering to the people spiritually. And then every third year, according to Deuteronomy 14:28, every third year you would take another tenth of the crop. And actually you could do, you know, a third of a tenth every of those first years. But the third year you would take a tenth of the crop to be for your local Levitical priesthood, so that the local priests were ministering in your own city. So it says, when you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing to your local city is what it was talking about, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless. And actually, it wasn't just the Levite. It was also for the stranger that would come through town and need some food, the fatherless, the orphan that was in need, and the widow. In other words, even in the church today, as we've emphasized, there should be an outpouring. And actually, today we're talking about helping that guy. We don't just give money away. Jeremy and I really talk and we pray about it. We see about where they are spiritually and what the real need is. And then, like in the case today, we paid a landlord. And so it's a witness to a landlord that there's a church that's ministering to people in their need when there's a physical problem that's gotten them out of a job. People are really struggling. And the Lord wants those that are strangers among us, struggling, widows and orphans, to be able to seek God. And how can we truly minister to where this isn't just throwing resources away, but that we would put aside some to minister to those that are in our midst. And it says, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, so that there would be the provision to take care of the people so they wouldn't be starving. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have, and this is, make this verbal commitment to God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. In other words, Lord, I am truly giving one-tenth on this third year for this reason. I am obeying your commandments, and I'm not transgressing or forgetting them. See, there's two ways that we can sin against God's law. One is to just, I know what it says, but I don't care. And that's transgression. The other one is to not even know what the Word of God says about things and to just not do them because we're forgetting them. I have not eaten, verse 14, and this is interesting, I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for any unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you have commanded me. So he's saying, you know, when I was having a bad day, I didn't break into my tithe stash that was supposed to be given to the people. I didn't do it when I was in mourning. I didn't do it for any unclean use. You know, I'm going to, you know, give some of this so that I can get something that has, you know, it's a violation of God's law. I want to go pamper myself and I want to go take these, you know, today it would be in funds. Back then it was to be trading agricultural supplies and stuff for something. I'm going to go party today. I'm going to use it for some unclean use. This what was supposed to go to God, nor given it for the dead. And this is so amazing because, you know, you really have to travel overseas to go to a place like Hong Kong to see these idolatrous shrines set up all over in Hong Kong. I mean, all over the place. And there's just, you know, walking down the street, and as soon as there's a little vacant lot area that can't be used to build anything, they have made a shrine. And in that shrine, you go up and there's food given to the ancestors there at the shrine, or, you know, which is giving the food to dead ancestors. And what God is saying, you guys are going to go worship idols someday, so I'm wanting you to say that you won't even give it to the dead because you're dedicating it to something that has no life. Satan inspires people to give the provision to things that are dead instead of giving it to people that are alive. It's an abomination to God. And so he says, I want you to say these words. God through Moses is saying, I want you to say these words. I am not going to rip off the things of God to do it for immorality, to do it because I'm having a bad day, and I'm not going to go into the pagan practices of just squandering this off to other religions, is basically what it means. I'm not going to do it to go get my astrology charts read. I'm not going to do it to go get some, you know, book about how-tos. Look down from your holy habitation, verse 15, from heaven, and bless your people Israel, and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. And I'll tell you, the rest of Deuteronomy just so emphasizes this, and it applies to us today, is that he's saying, you know, if you will do these things, God says, I will bless you. And so when people say, oh God, bless me, bless this nation, bless me as I'm in this promised land, bless me in this land flowing with milk and honey, God is saying, therefore you shall carefully observe them. Carefully observe these things. I heard, you know, somebody was witnessing to a friend that, you know, their family's been in the paper here recently. The kids are going off to jail. Maybe you've read it in the paper. Horrible things that have happened. They even, in the paper, even talked about it being with a family dog, and immorality with a daycare and stuff. And I was saying to her, and just talking to the people, I was saying, you know, the reality of what we share with people is that when you raise a family, godless, there is no God, there is no standard. I'm going to ignore the Proverbs. I'm going to ignore about foolishness is pent up in the heart of our children. I'm going to, you know, and the rod will drive it far from them. The teaching of the Word of God will drive it far from them. Totally, I raise as if there is no God. There is such a guarantee of tragedy. Such a guarantee. And I'll tell you that, and I've mentioned this many times before, but this whole thing started with these kids getting into things that they shouldn't be getting into on the internet and TV and everything else. I just, as I was listening to this, I was almost getting sick in realizing just how many millions of kids who have parents who don't know what they're getting into on the internet, don't even have a clue what they're reading, what magazines, what things are going cycling through the public school system, that don't have a clue, and they don't realize just how powerfully wicked this is. And you can guarantee that a family who does not care what their kids see, and they let their kids go into that demonic kind of stuff, you can guarantee there will be absolute tragedy in their lives. Guarantee it. Because God says He blesses when we carefully observe the things that He tells us. We can't say, God bless me, and I'm going to run my family as if you don't exist. God says, excuse me, but the blessing comes with a condition that you carefully observe the things that I have commanded. You don't keep them out of your house, then you're not going to be blessed. Because the things that come into our house that's not from God are things that will destroy you. That's what I told you. You don't want to believe me? Go ahead. Take your shot. Verse 17, today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in His ways and keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, and that you will obey His voice. Also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people, just as He has promised you that you should keep all His commandments, and that He will set you high above all nations which He has made in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as He has spoken. Moses was saying, if you obey the commandments, He's going to plop you into the promised land, and you will be an incredible light on the hill to the nations. An incredible light. I will so bless you that people will look at you and they will go, look at the God that they serve and how it has so blessed those people. They don't have the diseases that we have. They don't have the crop failures that we have. They don't have the miscarriages that we have. They are lending to us and not being a debtor nation. We are subservient to them. They're not subservient to us. They would have just gone on and on and on and on. How come they're so blessed? Because of the God we serve and His commandments. It is what they were supposed to be able to do. Were they that way much after Moses died? You know, no. You can read the book of Joshua. They had a few good years, and then it all fell apart in the book of Judges. Is it today? No, because they're practicing all the things of the nations that are around them, completely copying the nation of America, and therefore they are not the light on the hill right now. And actually, all the curses of Deuteronomy chapter 28 that we're going to hopefully get into a little bit today, or we're going to get into the blessings, and probably Jeremy will cover the cursings next week, that they're all happening to them as well as to this country today, the curses, because of the disobedience against God. Chapter 27, we covered the first four verses last week, but we'll read it, just go over it. Now Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today, and it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones and whitewash them with lime, put a kind of a concrete front on them, and you shall write on this, this concrete that you would set up, this lime, you shall write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. Therefore it shall be when you have crossed over the Jordan, that on Mount Ebal you shall set up these stones which I command you today, and you shall whitewash them in lime. And we'll talk more about Mount Ebal in a minute, but it was the mount that was going to be the Mount of Blessing, and the Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Cursing. And basically God said, I want you to see them. And again, last week, they were going to remove them, and then I guess it was yesterday, they actually hauled the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom in Alabama. And it all started because three people had gone to the ACLU, because when they went up to the stones, it says they were offended by the words that were there. And by the way, we have a handout from Joseph Farah's wife. I think it's Elizabeth Farah. Just a powerful, powerfully well-done article talking about how, yep, the Word of God is offensive. Has been, will always will be. That's what we have to realize, is that when people see the Word of God and they know that it's condemning their heart, they either repent and become humble before God, or they become very angry and mad. And the fact that Christians in America have not been persecuted over the last decades, you know what it really boils down to? It's because we haven't been that light of the Word of God and the commandments of God. We have been, join our club, get into our building, you know, come and tithe, do this. We don't care whether you really believe or not. We don't care about the commandments or not. What you do at your home is fine as long as you come to the Bible study and as long as you go out the door, pass the plate, and do your thing. And what's happened is we have, in you know, the success of the apparent church thing has been all that's really mattered, as long as there's somebody there. And it didn't have to do with the law of God. Well, now as the whole country has kind of gotten into this lawlessness, now the pressure is going to be put on, and the people that do hang in there for the law of God and the truth, they're going to start really seeing the persecution, because enough of the lack of the teaching and the law of God has corrupted our society, and the persecution is coming. And it's just the reality of the church having lost what it was all about. God wanted front and center in front of the people the law to speak to them so that they would turn. In fact, and I wonder, no one's ever found these. I would be so blessed. Can you imagine archaeologically finding some old stuccoed, you know, limestone covered rock with some of the law of God? It would be just the most amazing thing. I don't think they ever will, because I bet you somebody went through and made sure they chiseled every little bit of it off. I don't even want to know it's buried. I want to dig it out. I want to get rid of it, because I don't want ever to be convicted by the law of God again. So I'd be surprised if they found it, but I would just love to do so. And there, verse 5, you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones which you shall not use an iron tool on them. No human effort associated with obeying the law. It's really what's always symbolic by not using any iron instrument on it. You shall build with whole stones the altar of the Lord your God and offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. You shall offer peace offerings. You shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord. And so what did he say? When you get over to Mount Ebal, set up the law right there and set up a sacrifice altar right here. In other words, what does the law do? The law drives me to the need for a sacrifice to have peace with God. And that's how we are to communicate the law to people, is to let them see that they're lost because they've sinned, and then to bring them to Jesus, the sacrifice. And you shall write very plainly on the stones all the words of this law. Then Moses and the priests, the Levites, spoke to all Israel, saying, take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Therefore you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. And many people say, oh, that's Old Testament, all that emphasis on the commandments of God. But for those that have been going through our 1 John study, yeah, 1 John is the same thing. It's the same thing about having a love for the law of God and his commandments. And Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim. And actually, I said it backwards before. It's Mount Gerizim, to bless the people when you have crossed over the Jordan. Simeon, the tribe of Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin would stand on Mount Gerizim, and they would say the blessings of chapter 28 to the nation of Israel, you know, camped between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And actually, Dan was the tribe that led the nation into idolatry later on. And they were the ones that were supposed to talk about the cursings. And so basically, you know, earlier, the law was put at Mount Ebal. And the law curses. The law is what curses. And Mount Gerizim was the blessings of the people for obeying the law. And basically, both of these mountains are in northern Israel. And this is what is so amazing, is that today, if you look at a map of Israel, you'll see a town called Nablus. Anybody heard of Nablus? It's always in the news. And yeah, Don? Oh, you've heard. Okay. Nablus is always in the news. In fact, it had to be reinvaded here recently by the Jews again, because it's a hotbed of Palestinian violence against the Jews. It's where a lot of the Palestinian suicide attacks have come out of. And if you look at that map of Nablus, on one side of the city is Mount Gerizim, on the other side is Mount Ebal. And the Jews called it, in the Old Testament, it was a city called Shechem. Now Shechem was this the city that God first told Abraham, this land I'm going to give to you. Now, when you think about it in a spiritual sense, as I've mentioned before, every major city of Israel that had to do with the promises of God to Israel have been those cities that have been turned over to the Palestinian Authority. Those are the ones, Shechem, Bethlehem, Jericho, I could go on and on and on. This city, Nablus, is a city of the blessings and the cursings associated with the promise to Abraham of possessing the land. And right now, that city is the one that's giving Israel the most grief, if you ignore the Gaza Strip down to the south, which isn't, you know, in a different part. As far as the city, right there with these two mountains, is the one giving Israel the greatest grief. Why? Because they're not obeying the commandments of God. And especially giving away the land of Israel along with everything they do. What we can tell people is that, you know, based on the law of God, we can say, if you want to be blessed by God, you must know Him and obey His commandments. If you do not obey the commandments of God, you will be cursed. It's just that simple, that we will be cursed by disobeying the laws of God. Now, verse 14, and the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel. So you're going to have these tribes of blessing on Mount Gerizim. You have these tribes of cursing on Mount Ebal, and that leaves the tribe of Levi. So Levi isn't on the cursing or the blessing. So they say these verses here before we get into chapter 28. And the Levi shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes any carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Now, and again, I've emphasized this before when we've used it in the New Testament study. But what would happen is the Levites would yell out to the couple million people they estimate. And I don't know how they communicated it. They must have made, you know, normal megaphone, you know, just natural megaphone things. And they would somehow cry it out to the people. Maybe the Lord even blessed with them being able to hear it, to all hear it. And they would. And the very first thing that God said is dealing with idols. It is the thing also that 1 John ends with, my little children, flee from idols. Cursed is everyone, and all the people will say, and the entire, you would have heard the entire nation of Israel at that instant saying, Amen. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And all the kids in this room shall say, I didn't hear him. Verse 16. Cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt. And all the kids in the room said, Amen. And just, you know, to really think about the importance of the second thing that God says, right under idolatry, is that children that treat their parents with contempt. Why would that be such a big deal to God? Because it is the parents that pass on to their children, the next generation, they pass on to them the knowledge of the Word of God. And if the children say, Dad, I don't want to read the Bible, I want to go get a video. You know, Dad, I don't want to do that. I want to go with my friends to the movie in the mall. Dad, I want to, you know, what is this? Why do I have to be a Christian like you? You're just too serious about this, Jesus. I have my friends, and you know what? They think I'm a nutcase to be in the same house with people like you. Do you know there's Christian parents all over this country that are hearing that from their children? They're having contempt. The children are having contempt for the adults who are trying to teach them about Jesus. Verse 17, cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmarks, a simple dishonest taking of property. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. And you know, just these things that, you know, God just so hates that some of you, come on, old man, you know, you're blind, and here, I'll help you, and then watch him, you know, come this way, this way, this way, watch him trip and go into a ditch. Ha, wasn't that funny? And move on. The people that are the con artists today, the people who call up the elderly and swindle them out of their money, the people who do the things to abuse the people that are struggling. Cursed are those who do such a thing, and the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, the fatherless, and widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. I just heard from Dean Gosher that there was a Christian guy down in Oregon. And he was he's fighting the court system. And he got thrown into jail by the judge for absolutely no grounds. 40 days in jail. And if you give me any more grief, your wife's going to join you. And it really happened in Oregon. Actually happened in Oregon. A guy got thrown into jail by simple power of the judge to do so. And actually, not legally do so, but because he said, bailiff, you know, put this guy in jail. And if he gives me a grief, his wife goes too. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal, and all the people shall say, Amen. And some of this stuff is just like, how could the Bible thousands of years ago dealt with things that are today in America, today in the world? Because it's the same demon that's inspiring people to do these cursed things. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister or daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Incest, which is rampant in our society, killing the homes, taking away the innocence of countless tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not, to tell the closer to the truth, millions of children all over America. Cursed are those that do these things. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person, which we read about all the time, with the rich and famous hiring people. In fact, there was a 60 Minutes or something that I was watching where they were talking about this this guy who was talking about how he gets hired to make hits on people. And, you know, they showed actual film footage of these people saying how they were hiring this undercover guy to be a hitman. And this is what was happening here. That takes money to go slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. And then cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law, and all the people shall say, Amen. And that was that last one that probably got many of them to choke a little bit on the words. You know, because most people would say, okay, yeah, you know, I'm not gonna murder, not gonna move my property, you know, my land, the landmark. And but then cursed is everyone who doesn't do completely everything contained in the law. And that's what we basically say to people like our Tom friend that came in today. Have you ever sinned? Yeah, everybody has. Well, then you're cursed. You're cursed to hell. See, that's all we have to have that message on our lips. You're cursed to hell. Do you realize how much trouble you're in? And actually, we should take them to this verse. Take them right to the Old Testament. It says, cursed is everybody, is anyone who does not do all the words of this law, you're all cursed. Because until they're cursed and they know they're lost, they're not going to want to get saved. And that's why, you know, as Ray Comfort and others have emphasized, what is the mission of the church? I mean, what's the message of the church? Come and be a Christian and you'll have fun in our church services. Come and be a Christian, like Casey Treat, I see his commercials on TV. You know, they have gymnastics and guys riding a motorcycle up on the stage. And, you know, and it's just, it's being shown as some, come here and, you know, you don't have to, you don't have to go to some entertainment show down in Seattle or L.A. or we got it right here. And no, the problem is we're lost. We're lost in sin. We're going to die someday. And we're going to go to either heaven or we're going to go to hell. And this says that I'm cursed to go to hell. If I don't do 100% of the law, I'm in trouble. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things that are written in the books to do them. And Paul is referring to this verse. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And then it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Paul emphasized to the Galatians, who, by the way, as you read his second letter to Timothy, they all abandoned him, you know, for somehow think, who cares about Paul? But he taught them that what they needed to do is to realize that they're all cursed under the law. And then to realize that they've been redeemed from that curse, bought back from that curse by Jesus becoming the curse for them, so that they could be made the righteousness of God and given everlasting life. And I encourage all of the saints here tonight, this is the message that we have for this dying world in these last seconds of the last days before we go safely into His kingdom. And there's other people that haven't heard this message, and may the Lord Jesus help us to keep this message pure to the way that God intended it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Jeremy will pick it up in chapter 28 next week, and if you wanted to read ahead, it's really amazing to me to read that chapter of what happens if a country follows God, how blessed they are. It also is amazing, more than amazing, to read all the cursings that happen to a country that turns away from God. And then when you do a little check mark of America 2003, is it a blessed country or is it a cursed country? When I go through the little check marks of whether there's the blessings or the cursings. And I'll tell you, there's very few of the blessing blocks that I can check. And there's a whole lot of the cursing blocks that you can check. And even then, we're still living in relative peace and tranquility. But we're so rapidly, as we further abandon God, so rapidly heading to the time where the heat's going to continue to be turned up. And so again, it's an emphasis to me to realize that God's word is going to come true. These things are going to happen because He is God. He knows all things and He's prophesied these things. And what are we going to do as we enter this time? I hope the encouragement is that we will look at the commandments of God and so want to do them. So want to do them. In every little way. I spent some time with my son and there was a little temptation or something when we were out in the woods. And I said, no, Nathaniel, we shouldn't. He goes, no one will see. And I go, but God will see. Well, does He really? Yeah, there's this verse. and so that everything that we're doing, we're wanting to do what God tells us to do. In every aspect, I don't want to let things into my house. I don't want to gossip. I want to be loving. I want to be graceful. I want to be merciful. I want to obey God, because then I will feel the blessing and the freedom and the peace of knowing I'm serving Him, and there'll be blessings that come. Father, we thank You for Your word, and Lord, I just so desire that not only in my own heart but the heart of Your people, and not only in Port Orchard Calvary but just Your true church, Lord, everywhere that it can be found, that Lord, as we realize there's so many things that are just tugging us away from this message of just the preciousness of Your law, Your desire for us to obey, and knowing that we fall so short, but we find such grace and mercy in Your Son Jesus, and who gives us the desire to want to do Your law, that God, You would help us to do so, that You would help us to flee from the things that would distract us away from the truth, and that we could walk with You in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.